well. Well, speaking of moms, here is my mom. She passed away a few years ago, but this is her 100th birthday. This picture was taken. And she had me under her thumb for a lot of years. In fact, she was my first piano teacher. She started me, I think I
was maybe right at the end of age 5. And mom taught piano. Sometimes she would have as many as like 60 students a week coming into our home and taking lessons. And I had the privilege of being one of those students, but I didn't have to pay her. Anyway, mom taught piano actually at the end of high school, she said she started, and she was still doing some teaching, limited teaching, when she was 87. So she spent a lot of years teaching piano. Well, I'm sure that many of your moms were just like my mom, in that during the week, and especially on Saturday nights, we would review our memory verses for Sunday morning. Did any of you ever have Sunday school and you had to memorize a verse? Yeah, for Sunday school? Well, that's what we had to do. And I would have to get that verse just perfect so that I could say it on Sunday morning there in our Sunday school class. And you know what? I'm sure that for a lot of us, probably most of us, one of those verses was Romans 8:28. You know, I'll never forget an incident, and I was young. I was only 6 years old, but I'll never forget an incident when I was in grade 1. We lived in the little town of Mesa, Washington, and it's down near Pasco, Kennewick, and Richland, if you're familiar with the state of Washington. And we lived in a mobile trailer, and we were kind of on a temporary lot anyway. But we had had torrential rains and lots of flooding, and things were a mess. And it was late one evening, and I remember, I think I had either just gone to bed or it was just at my bedtime. And I can remember Dad coming in, the rain was just pouring down. And Dad came in out of the rain and he said, "Well, pack it up." He said, "We have to move tonight." We were not ready. So it was only minutes after that a farmer from our church came with his big tractor to pull us out of safety. And we made it. We only had to move maybe 200 feet, something like that, to get out of to get on more solid ground. But we were frantically, my mom and I especially in there, and I was just young, but we were frantically trying to get things ready, dishes that needed to be put on. We just laid them on a couch and stuff like, put them on the floor, took them out of the cupboards and that. It was because everything happened so fast. But I do remember one thing about that evening. My mom mentioned the verse Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good. And you know what? That stuck with me. Well, a question for you. Do all things work together for good? Can we still believe in Romans 8:28? Let me give you the verse the way I learned it. It was in the King James Version, and it goes like this. And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Well, let's be honest. A lot of us would probably have at least two problems with these words by the Apostle Paul. Number one, they promise something that we have trouble believing. Our text says, and we know that all things work together for good. Paul, how can you be sure about that? Most of us are not as sure as Paul was. We hope that all things will work together for good. We believe they do, but do we really know that to be true? And the second thing is, they include things that we think maybe should be left out. Because Paul says all things work together for good. Well, that seems a little bit too definite. All things? All things? We might go as far as to say some things work together for good, but can we be sure it is really all things? Well, as we've mentioned, Romans 8:28 is one of the most beloved verses in the Bible. You know that, and many of us could give testimony of that fact. You were sick, and this verse was like medicine to your soul. Or maybe you lost a loved one, and these words somehow carried you through. Or you were crushed and beaten by the winds of ill fortune, and this verse gave you the hope to go on. Can we still believe in Romans 8:28? Well, let's look at three considerations that will help us answer that question. Three perspectives that we need to keep in mind as we read this verse. First one, we must start with God. Let's look at the first phrase in three different versions of the Bible, okay? King James Version says, all things work together for good to them who love God. The New American Standard says this, God causes all things to work together for good. And the New International Version says this, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. Did you catch the difference? You see, in the King James Version, God is way down at the end of the phrase. And in the other two versions, God is at the beginning. Now, it's partly a question of text and partly a question of grammar. And there's nothing wrong with the traditional version, but the modern translations actually probably bring out the proper emphasis. We will never properly understand this verse as long as we put God at the end and not at the beginning. But some people look at life that way. They believe that life is like a roll of the dice. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. And they believe that after a tragedy, God shows up to make everything come out right. But that is not the biblical view at all. You see, in reality, God is there at the beginning, he's there at the end, and he's there at every point in between. God is at work. It's not luck. It's not chance. It's not blind fate. And that answers the great question, where is God when it hurts? Is he there at the beginning, or is he there only at the end? The answer is that Romans 8:28 begins with God. He was there before it all happened, and he's there when it happened, and he's still there when it's all over. When we look at situations, we must at all costs resist the cheap explanation. Sometimes tragedies happen, and well-meaning people say, oh, that's not a tragedy. It only looks that way. Have faith. If you believe that tragedy is not really tragedy, you could possibly even lose your faith altogether. Suppose I have an accident and I wreck my car. And I take it into the body shop and the repairman says, friend, you haven't had an accident. Your car has just been rearranged. So I turn and I look at the cracked grill and the crumpled fender and the twisted bumper and the shattered windshield. And of course the airbags went off. And I say, buddy, you're crazy. This car is not rearranged. It's wrecked. You see, the Bible never asks us to pretend that tragedy isn't tragedy, or to pretend that our pain isn't real. The point is, we must see the active involvement of God. God is actively at work in your life. Is Paul saying, whatever happens is good? No. Is he saying that suffering and evil and tragedy are good? No. Is he saying that we will understand why God allowed tragedy to come? No. Look at it this way. Little children will often go to bed at night and they'll be afraid. They're scared because they can't see in the darkness. So they cry out, and finally at last mom or dad comes. And mom and dad sits on the bed and takes the little one in their arms and holds them and says, don't be afraid. I'm right here with you. And the fear goes away when mom and dad come. Even so, the darkness of life frightens us until we discover or remember that God, our Heavenly Father, is there. You see, the darkness is still dark, but He is there, and that makes all the difference. Can we still believe in Romans 8:28? Yes, but we need to start with God. Number two, we need a long-term perspective. You know, so many things in life seem unexplainable. Why does a tornado destroy one house and leave another one untouched? Why does one brother excel when the other one struggles all his life? Why does a tumor come back when the doctor said he thought that he had gotten it all? The list of such questions is endless. Seen in isolation, they make no sense whatever. If there is a purpose behind such tragedy, we don't see it. Our danger is that we judge the end by the beginning. Or to be more exact, we judge what we cannot see by what we can see. When tragedy strikes, if we can't see a purpose, we assume there isn't one. But the very opposite is true. We ought to judge the beginning by the end. Here's where Romans 8:28 gives us some real help. Paul says, and we know that all things work together for good. The phrase work together is really from a Greek word, synergon, and we get our English word synergy from it. Now, what is synergy? It is what happens when you put two or more elements together to form something new that neither could form separately. It's what happens when my wife, Lori, goes into the kitchen and she makes a big pot of stew. She puts in the tomatoes and the carrots and the celery and the green beans and the meat and the spices and a lot of other secret ingredients that I know nothing about. Now I do know, or I do think, that one of the ingredients she puts in is garlic powder. Something like that. I'm not a garlic fan. What comes out, though, is the best stew that I've ever had. Now, left to myself, I would never use something like garlic powder. Garlic is yucky. But in the stew, combined with all those other ingredients, it makes for a phenomenal meal. That synergy, the combination of many elements to produce a positive result. That's what Paul means when he says that God causes all things to work together. Many of the things that make no sense when seen in isolation are in fact working together to produce something good in my life and in your life. There is a divine synergy even in the darkest moments, a synergy that will produce something positive. And the good that is ultimately produced could not happen any other way. Paul is saying that our experience is like that. God begins with the raw materials of life, including some parts that seem to have no good purpose. Those materials are acted upon by pressure and heat, and they're bent and they're shaped and they're joined together. And over time, something beautiful is created, not by accident, but by a divine design. And nothing is wasted in the process. You see, that's how we must look at life. We must not judge the end by the beginning, but rather the beginning by the end. Can we still believe in Romans 8:28? Yes, we can. But you know what? We need to start with God, and we need to have a long-term perspective. Now, the other thing we need to do is define the word good. This is the crux of the matter. Paul says that all things work together for good. But what good is he talking about? For most of us, good equals things like health, happiness, solid relationships, long life, yes, money, food on the table, meaningful work, a nice place to live. In general, we think that the good life means a better set of circumstances. Once again, that's not necessarily the biblical view. In this case, we don't have to wonder what Paul means. He defines it for us in the very next verse. And it's Romans 8:29. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. To be conformed to the likeness of his Son. That makes it very clear. You see, God's predestined you and me to a certain end, and that certain end is the good of Romans 8:28. It is that we might be conformed to the likeness of Jesus Christ. Let's put it plainly. God is at work in your life, making you more like Jesus. When Paul says that all things work together for good, he's not saying that the tragedies and the heartaches of life will always produce a better set of circumstances. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they don't. But God is not committed to making you happy and successful. He's committed to making you like his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And whatever it takes to make you more like Jesus is good. So it is in the providence of God that we learn more in the darkness than we do in the light. We gain more from sickness than we do from health. We pray more when we're scared than when we're confident. See, probably the greatest problem with Romans 8:28 is that our good and God's good are not the same. We want happiness, fulfillment, peace, long life. Meanwhile, God's at work in us and through us and by everything that happens to us to transform us into the image of his Son. You know what? He's always at work. He is never deterred by us. Nothing happens to us outside of his control. He makes no mistakes, and for him, there's no surprises. That's what Paul means when he says we know. We know it because we know God, and He has said it. His word is trustworthy, and that guarantees it. We know it not by looking at the events of life, but by knowing God. We know it not by studying the pattern of the cloth, but by knowing the designer of the fabric. We know it not by listening to the notes of the symphony, but by knowing the composer of the music. Can we still believe in Romans 8:28? Yes. But properly define what good means. There are some limitations, though. Number three. Notice the last phrase of Romans 8:28. It is a promise to those who love, who have been called according to His purpose. That's an all-important limitation. This verse is true of Christians. It's not just a blanket statement about the whole human race. Why? Because God's purpose is to make His children one day like His Son. The story is told of a father whose son was killed in a terrible accident. This father came to the pastor and he said in great anger, "Where was God when my son died?" The pastor thought for a moment and he replied, "The same place he was when his son died." That's the final piece of the puzzle. He knows what we are going through because God has been there. He has watched His own Son die. Therefore, we can say with the Apostle Paul, we know. Not because we see the answer, but because we know Him. And He knows what it's like to lose a son. Can we still believe in Romans 8:28? Yes, we can and must believe in Romans 8:28. It's a teaching us one great truth. All things ultimately contribute to the ultimate good of those who love God. So, Mom, thanks for helping me memorize that verse. And moms, you have been and are an integral part of God's plan in all of our lives. Thank you, and happy Mother's Day. Let's stand as we pray together.